A reading from the first book of Kings. Elijah went to Zarephath of Sidon to the house of a widow. The son of the mistress of the house fell sick, and his sickness grew more severe until he stopped breathing. So she said to Elijah, "Why have you done this to me, O man of God? Have you come to me to call attention to my guilt and to kill my son?" Elijah said to her, "Give me your son." Taking him from her lap, he carried the son to the upper room where he was staying, and he put him on his bed. Elijah called out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, will you afflict even the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself out upon the child three times and called out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let the life breath return to the body of this child." The Lord heard the prayer of Elijah. The life breath returned to the child's body, and he revived. Taking the child, Elijah brought him down into the house from the upper room and gave him to his mother. Elijah said to her, "See, your son is alive." The woman replied to Elijah, "Now indeed I know that you are a man of God. The word of the Lord comes truly from your mouth." The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this the bearers halted, and he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people." This report about him spread through the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. The Gospel of the Lord. Of the many stories of survival that have been told since the tornadoes in Moore, Oklahoma, a couple of weeks ago, the one that has touched me the most is about the two teachers who stretched their bodies across as many of their students as they could, in an effort to protect them as the tornado touched down and destroyed their school. Because of their efforts, several children survived the deadly twister. In today's first reading, we hear of Elijah taking the body of the only son of the widow of Zarephath and stretching his own body across it, praying to God that the life breath be returned to the child. Similarly, in the Gospel, we hear the story of Jesus returning to life another only son of a widow. In both situations, it is not just the restoration of the children that is miraculous. In ancient times, women were dependent on men for their care and well-being, first by their fathers, then by their husbands, and finally by their sons should something happen to their husbands. The fact that both stories in today's scriptures speak of widows losing their only sons tells us that they too were as good as dead, for no one was left to support them. Both Elijah and Jesus are moved to compassion and respond to the needs of these most vulnerable women in society, and restore not only their sons to life, but in doing so, restore life to the widows. Their emptiness was filled, their distress dissipated. Brought to the brink of spiritual and economic death, these widows were again alive. We too know this reality because of Jesus, who stretched out his body on the cross in order that the breath of life might be renewed in us, saving us from the death of sin. He has given us his very spirit that we might share in the giving and receiving of life where there is apparent death. Such is our hope, our gift, and our blessing. I recall a time recently, after a particularly difficult period in my life, sharing what had been going on with a wise friend. I entered into the conversation feeling exhausted and not pleased with who I felt I had become as a result of the situation. It was like something was dying inside of me. My friend listened as I poured out my heart and the anger, frustration, and sadness that accompanied it. And when I had finished speaking, my friend simply stood up and held me in a long embrace as I continued to sob. In that stretching out of my friend's body over mine, if you will, I could feel God's healing touch restoring me. I had arrived sick in heart and mind, on the brink of spiritual death, and left renewed and full of life. More than likely, we aren't going to stretch out our bodies over another or on behalf of others, as did the teachers in Oklahoma, Elijah, and Jesus. But we can do what Jesus did in today's gospel. Despite being surrounded by the crowd who accompanied him, probably along with their own cares and concerns, he was able to notice the situation and name, have compassion, and respond to it. The invitation is for us to stretch our eyes beyond the daily crowds of busyness that accompany our thoughts, our minds, and our time, and look out upon the world to the needs that are right there in front of us, oftentimes tornadic in character, and respond in compassion. The stretching out we're invited to do may simply be a listening ear for the one dying of loneliness, or sharing from our plentiful cupboards with those who are dying of hunger. It may be writing prisoners who are dying from lack of contact with the outside world, or confronting the death-dealing attitudes of prejudice and persecution. It may be a matter of letting go of the tight grasp we have on our own religious beliefs and political positions, and seek instead to bridge the deathly chasm that divides us from being in relationship with others. We may not be able to raise the physically dead to life again, but we do have the power to raise the spiritually dead to life again, and more than likely find our own life renewed in the process. We have this power because we have a share in the Spirit of Jesus, who calls us to see what is before us, to stop the funeral procession in its tracks, and respond in compassion. When we witness or exercise such power in the Spirit, then there can be no denying that God does indeed continue to visit his people.